Pastor Reyes, unless you're good. Just something I'm missing.
No, that's it.
A program from
the
mountain? Thank you, John. Let us begin our evening service tonight by turning to our hymn books, to number 884. Yes. Let us stand together, please, as we sing together, giving glory unto the Lord. We sing the first and last verses in this hymn. Are you know it, Pastor Rice?
I am happy today, and the sun shine bright, the clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come his way to stay. Whosoever surely mean at me. Divine that Jesus for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I find, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely mean at me. Whosoever meaneth me.
Amen. Good singing. Let us pause for prayer this time. Oh, you sad? We're going to ask you to lead us some prayer.
Oh,
yes, you.
Oh, Father God, Heavenly Father, blessed be thy name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And hear the message and learn something new, because we learn something new every day.
Amen.
So we walk with you. So Lord, continue to be with us and bless us all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And let us again continue singing as we turn back to our hymn books, the number 671. We sing the first, second, and last verses of 671.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though Christ in him daily is raising, raising the penitent and trying to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive the holy delay. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Amen. That's part of this time for the announcement. As we ask Pastor Rice to give those announcements.
Alright. Does anybody need a bulletin? Welcome tonight to Northfield Baptist Church. It's good to have you with us tonight as we worship the Lord together. Anyone need one? Before I formed thee, I knew thee. All right, Dylan needs one. Oh, great. Mr. Wells is right at your service there. Anyone else need one? So last Sunday was was Sanctity of Life Sunday, as well as Martin Luther King Day the next day. And then this Sunday we had a baby dedication. So that's beautiful. Reminder that God gives life. Then, so he called Jeremiah, or he knew Jeremiah in the womb. Jeremiah wasn't even born yet, and he knew Jeremiah, and he wanted Jeremiah to be a prophet. Just goes to show God's love for the unborn. John the Baptist was the first one to praise the Lord and praise God for Jesus coming in the door of his house, and he wasn't even born yet. So, if John the Baptist could praise the Lord in the womb by leaping in the womb, it's not our job to end and terminate life. That's God's. God is the only one who can begin or end life. Just by way of other announcements, we are getting ready for our anniversary, 25th church anniversary, so invite some guests for that special morning that we'll have together. And then the evangelistic meetings coming up. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned this morning? Any other announcements? Okay, all right, tonight we have why we reject Christian contemporary worship music and the reasoning and the songs. So you can actually hear it yourself and compare this music with that music. And it's very interesting to see. One writer said, he said, I've been to all the different churches with all their crazy music, and he says, I notice what they're doing. They're worshiping the feeling they get when they think they're worshiping God. They're worshiping the feeling they get, and that's because that's what the music is doing to them. They think they're worshiping God, and it feels good. It's actually the feeling. They're worshiping the feeling they're getting from that the music that's carefully orchestrated to suspend emotions. So we'll see that tonight. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. All right. Amen. Good to have Pastor Logan back with us. We missed him while he was down in Virginia. We're never allowing him to leave New Jersey. You know, we've got roadblocks on the roads, so he can't go down to Virginia anymore.
Uh-oh.
No, we missed him for a while he was down there. Uh-oh. Keep praying for his house. And situation down there. All right, let us bow together in prayer.
We thank you for the time we're coming together. We thank you for this evening's service. Continue to bless each one and share with those that may be yet on the way. In this name we pray with thanksgiving. All of God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Page number 658. Sing first and last verses, and then we turn the rest of the song or service for the Pastor Rice. 658.
is the shepherd, twice I moved out in the desert, hard and drear, calling the sheep who got astray, far from the shepherd's rule away. Out on the mountain, wild and high, act in the master, speak to thee, go for my sheep wherever it be.
Paul say at this point, and we bypass some special testimonies tonight, and let you reserve with them for next Sunday night, God's willing, so we can get started. Do you want to get started?
Yeah. We don't want to start without doing testimonies. Take any testimonies, then we'll start.
All right, we have a change. Let's have a testimony. Who would like to be first? Blessing from throughout the past week, or even today. Anyone? No one? Someone? All right, go right ahead.
I had a blessing today when I was driving the van, and we had a very good time. We might have gotten lost for a few minutes,
okay,
but we had a lot of fun doing it, and we got ourselves back on track, and God guided us right to the houses, and gosh, it was fun.
Amen. Amen. That's a praise the Lord for that. All right, could you put your hand up, Carol? Okay, well, you're not too late, no.
I was just going to thank the Lord that Dawn did drive today.
Mm.
She's an excellent driver, and she certainly fulfilled the need, and made God smile.
Mm. Amen. All right, someone else. We still have about 2 more minutes. Don't let time go by and use. Anyone else? Had some blessings from this day or through the past week? Don't hesitate to hold back. Oh, there's a hand waving. Put up a little higher so I can see it next time. Okay.
Pastor Logan mentioned Wednesday night about the little boy who was lost.
Okay, praise the Lord.
In Alabama, their Supreme Court ruled a fetus is a human life.
That's right.
So there's a little hope in all this dismal.
Yeah, we praise the Lord for that. He has been, even if they hadn't done it, he's still alive, a human life. God made it, that baby in the womb. Anyone else? All right, then the second is gone. That's twice.
Lydia, do you want to share about soul winning yesterday? What did you enjoy about soul winning?
Tell us, Lydia.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
No one accepted the Lord, but we visited a few houses. A few of them were interested, a few of them weren't, interested in what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
We did get to give the gospel to a few.
Okay.
Praise
love for that, and the blessing of giving God's word, if you know that the Holy Spirit will take it and use it to bring about conviction in their hearts. That's always great to share the word of God. All right, Pastor Rice, you try to avoid your minute.
All right, now we're ready, John. All right. Now at this time we'll have our... It's a very interesting video on, with clips and everything, to help us see the issues that come down to music. I did a lot of study in my lifetime on music, and also researched a lot, and he has researched all over. His name is David Cloud. Thank you.
I've said this morning that I'm convinced that rock and roll, and I just use that as a general definition of pop music today and all of its different styles, but it is the soundtrack for end-time apostasy in society and in the churches. And 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 describes that apostasy, that turning away from the faith in the end times. For the time will come, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Christianity, this is describing a Christianity that follows its own lusts. Now that's the opposite of biblical Christianity. For God calls us to deny our flesh and deny ourselves and to walk in the Spirit, not the lust of the flesh. And they heap to themselves teachers. There's going to be heaps of teachers that will give the people of this generation what they want to hear. And there are heaps having itching ears. Their ears are itching for a new kind of Christianity. I don't like that old-fashioned Christianity. I don't like that old negative Christianity. I don't like that old judgmental Christianity. Give me a new kind of Christianity. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And this is taking all kinds of forms today, this apostasy, and one of the forms of this apostasy is the emerging church. And one of the leaders of the emerging church, one of the prominent figures in that, his name is Mark Driscoll. One thing I try to do is get my facts right, and one way I do that is read books, but another way I do that is I visit these churches for research. And I visited Mark Driscoll's church a couple times in Seattle. And he calls himself theologically conservative, but culturally liberal. He means we're doctrinally conservative. They're staunch Calvinists. And so conservative according to Calvinistic theology, but culturally liberal. On New Year's Eve, that church has a big rock and roll dance party and serves champagne. And if you come to the church party on New Year's Eve there, you've got to bring your ID to see if you can drink or not. They have a beer-making sessions with the men, which are very popular. And they have a rock and roll dance clubs, and they have they watch R-rated movies and analyze them in the men's meetings. Culturally liberal, indeed. But theologically conservative, that's not possible. Right. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2. That is confusion. It's simply not possible. See, what is happening in these churches is that they are giving, they are allowing, now listen to me, they're allowing the people to keep their cultural gods. What are the cultural gods of America? Americans don't have little idols like the Hindus in Nepal do that sit them on their shelves and burn candles to them. But Americans are idolaters.
So he's in Nepal.
And as a nation, what is our gods? What are some of the chief gods? Professional sports? Rock, music? The rock and roll? The fashion? These are some of the gods. These are gods. These are things that people are passionate about. Far more passionate than church. These are things that people get really excited about and spend a lot of money on. That's your god. And these churches, these emerging churches, allow the people to keep these gods and still think of themselves as fine Christians. But that's not possible. Now look at Titus chapter 2 verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. See, there are certain ways of Christian living that are fitting to sound doctrine. And the two go together. And we know that doctrine is not living and living is not doctrine, but they go together. Look at verse 10. Titus 2, verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. We're to adorn the sound doctrine in our living, as to how we live. And so this is not possible to be doctrinally conservative and culturally today, talking about the pop culture, liberal. Because the pop culture is all about idolatry. It's all about the service of the flesh and the world and the devil. And God hates those things. And so if a church is sound theologically, it must warn and preach against those things. And one of the chief gods is rock and roll. And so tonight we're going to continue looking at this subject. And tonight, why we reject contemporary Christian music. And we looked at that a bit this morning. But we'll look at it more tonight. Reject the contemporary Christian music. And we have several very foundational reasons. And every child of God in an independent Baptist church needs to memorize these. Number one, because it's worldly. And we could stop right there. Number two, because it's addictive. And we could stop right there. And number three, it's ecumenical. Number four, it is charismatic. Number five, it is shallow and man-centered. Number six, it is opposed to preaching. Number seven, it is experience-oriented. And number eight, it weakens the stance of a biblical church when it comes. And destroys the character of a fundamentalist biblical church. Why do we reject contemporary Christian music? First and foremost, it's worldly. One of the first things God dealt with me about when I was a new Christian, when I was a hippie, when I was just coming out of the world, laden down with all of the pop culture, one of the first things that God dealt with me about in my Christian life was getting rid of rock music. Because that music is filthy and that music is ungodly and that music is satanic. And the very thought in those days, 1973, that you could take that filthy music that I once worshipped the flesh to and use it for the service of a holy God, it was unthinkable to me. But that's exactly what has happened. And yet God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, because the Father is holy, but is of the world. The Word of God repeats that and repeats that. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And be not conformed to this world. Romans 12 verse 2. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship with them. Ephesians 5 verse 11. That verse single-handedly forbids me to dabble into filthy pop culture. 1 Peter 1 verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Repeated and repeated. James 1 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And the emerging church wants to take that part and they talk about social justice issues and helping the poor and whatnot. And that is fine and that is good in its place if it's done scripturally. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It also says that pure religion before God is to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now that is a very high standard. Unspotted. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is not a minor theme in Scripture. This is a major teaching of Scripture. For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty. You have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. It's a major theme of Scripture. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. You cannot serve the flesh and the Spirit. That's confusion. That's impossible. But contemporary Christian music, it's not only worldly, it's openly worldly. It glorifies itself in its worldliness. It's worldly in its music. The music itself is worldly. Where do they get the music? From the world. Whatever the world is copying, that's what they get. That's what they go with. And throw some little Christian words on top of it, some vague religious words on top of it. But where do they get their music? From the world. It's worldly in their love for secular rock. Contemporary Christian musicians don't listen to Christian music, not even Christian rock music for the most part. I have countless testimonies by them of how what the music they listen to is the raunchy old pure secular rock and roll. The same thing that God called me out of. Cadman calls greatest love in music is secular rock. A couple of examples. Fourth Watch listens to a great deal of mainstream music, making no apologies for it. No apologies. Jars of Clay. They named Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles as their inspiration. Inspiration for what? Their lead guitarist is a, quote, Beatles fanatic. A Beatles fanatic. Well, you've got to be of the devil to be a Beatles fanatic. The Spirit of God would not allow you to be a Beatles fanatic. A Beatles fanatic. They love secular rock. When asked to list their musical influences, they listed no Christian artists, not even Christian rockers. Love for secular rock. When asked to name a musician they would pay to see in concert, Third Day, one of the biggest names, listed only secular rockers. I'd pay money to see these filthy secular rockers. They're worldly in their in the use of secular rock in worship. See, when you love rock, you love rock. Well, I happen to hate rock. Not because my flesh hates rock, but because I know what rock and roll does and did to me and would do to anybody it gets a hold of. Worshiping a holy God to secular rock. Filthy secular rock. Rod Parsley's church featured Van Lee Roth. I'm sorry, David Lee Roth of Van Halen's singing Jump. Worshiping to the Beatles song, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Pretending like God is singing that to us and He wants to hold our hand. That's not only wrong, that's stupid. The Beatles, one of the filthiest influences, one of the most negative spiritual influences in modern society. Popularizing drugs and Hinduism and free sex and rebellion. And tell me what's biblical on that list. The Beatles. John Lennon hated Almighty God. He sang in 1970, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. I just believe in me. Yoko and me. He sang in 1970, there ain't no Jesus going to come from the sky. He sang the very popular, the very influential song, Imagine, that there's no heaven, no hell below us, above us, only sky. No religion, too. Imagine all you want to. There is a hell and there is a heaven. And there is a true religion before God. Amen. John Lennon hated God. Will we love the enemies of God? Adulterers and adulteresses. Highway to Hell, singing Highway to Hell in a church. In North Carolina. Recently. When you love rock, you love rock. Every kind of rock, everything about rock. But rock has always been rebellious and filthy. Highway to Hell in a church. Rock music has always held seeds of the forbidden. Oh, well, that tells me to stay away from it. I shouldn't need any more than that one quote by a lost man. Buddy Holly's biography. 50s rock urged people to do whatever they wanted to do, even if it meant breaking the rules. 50s rock. Early rock was the face of Dionysus. Dionysus was the ancient god of lasciviousness and drunkenness and immorality. The face of Dionysus. 50s rock, not 90s rock. 50s rock was the face of Dionysus. 50s rock. You see, well, I like the oldie goldies. The oldie goldies were not godly. I think the hardest rock, the meanest rock, the strongest rock, the most powerful rock was 50's rock. It was all about do whatever you want to do. Elvis, I like his music. Oh, people are crazy about his music. Even today, he's dead. He's long dead. But women, there's women that are crazy about his music. And it's because he was sexy. This stuff's all about sex, folks. It's all about sex. Elvis didn't just change things musically. He changed. Now, this is David Brinkley observing something. He changed our hairstyles. And so, men wear long hair, women wear short hair. That's not the way God intended it, because there would be a distinct difference. He changed our dress style. He changed our attitudes towards sex, free sex. He changed our musical taste. He changed society's philosophy. It's not just about music. It's about far more than that. Little Richard freed people from their inhibitions. God puts inhibitions there. But he freed people from those, enabling them to do exactly what they felt like doing, what the flesh feels like doing. But God's going to judge that. When Johnny Burnett sang in his 50s hit, Tear It Up, he was talking about how you wanted to live your life. Tear it up. Tear it up. Do what you want to do. Tear it up. It's a philosophy. A godless philosophy. But for contemporary Christian musicians to love that music, to love that world, to want to go to their concerts, shows us how ungodly they are. I don't care what they say about how they love God. They're lying. What God? Not this God. We're not speaking off the top of our head here giving opinions. This is Scripture. That's your opinion. It is not an opinion. It's clear Scripture. Rock and roll is based on one's lower nature, Paul Stanley said. Based on one's lower nature. Rock music has one appeal only, a barbaric appeal to sexual desire. Rock is the total celebration of the physical. Rock is what? Rock is all about everything that's wrong. Rock and roll is 99% sex, John Oates said. And so the worldliness of contemporary Christian music is seen in their love for secular rock. It's also seen in their lifestyles. This is not surprising. Their lifestyles and the way they look. Now, why do they look like they look? They look like they look because their heroes in the world look like that. And so I've got to look like that. Now, they won't admit that. They think they're independent thinkers. The fact is, they always look exactly like the world. So there's no independent thinking going on here. There's a blind following of the crowd going on here. They promote this philosophy that hates separation from the world. Really, it does. This book is very popular. Roaring Lambs, A Plan to Change Your World. Very popular, endorsed by many of these contemporary musicians, Christian musicians. And it promotes the idea of being like the world to win the world. If you want to win a rapper, you got to look like a rapper, surely. You got to have lots of tattoos, all stuff like that. Surely, to win a rapper, you got to have a bunch of tattoos. How could you possibly win a rapper if you don't have a bunch of tattoos? And whatever. You got to be like the world to win the world. Briner suggested we have the goal of seeing our sons and daughters become principal dancers in ballet companies. I don't have that goal. I don't want my kids prancing around naked. Amen. And associating with a bunch of filthy people all the time. In intimate relationships. Daily relationships. Instead of just hanging around the fringes of our culture, we need to be right smack dab in the middle of it, they say. No, we're to be separated from it, and from a separated position, we're to preach to the culture. Let me tell you something. Jesus was not a party animal. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. He said, man, he made wine there, and he went to weddings, and he was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. Thank the Lord for it. But he wasn't a party animal. He was always telling people to repent. And I'll guarantee you that'll break up any good party. It will. That is not a party animal. He was plain spoken. He was truth. He is truth. He was truth at all times. He was compassionate. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But he was not a party animal. This is wrong. This is unscriptural. This is ungodly. This is apostate Christianity. This is Antichrist stuff. Right. Not separated from the world in any way whatsoever. Looking like the world, following the world in all of its different ways. Super chick. Most of them are guys. Under oath. Third day, just a few examples. The world, divorce, rampant, just as much as in the world, if not more. Rampant divorce. Just a few examples of the divorced contemporary Christian musicians. And I'll come to the names here in a minute. Sandy Patty, Denise Williams, Sheila Walsh, John Talbot, Randy Stonehill, Larry Norman, Tom Howard, Kirk Franklin, Jamark Davis, Ralph Carmichael, Steve Archer, Amy Grant, Gary Chapman, Stacy Jones, Melody Green, Michael W. Smith, all the members of the group Barnabas, Jackie Valakay, and Brian Duncan, to name a few. We'll just go through these here. Because you've got to... You don't necessarily need to see all their pictures. Rampant divorce. I mean, these are people supposedly serving the Lord. Not supposedly lost people that don't know what they're doing. Homosexuality is rampant. Ray Bolts, Martha Stevens, Kirk Talley, James Cleven, Ton X, he's a rapper, and Jennifer Knapp, Clay Aiken, to name a few. Of out of the closet contemporary Christian musicians. There's Gaither with Marcia Stevens, who's a very brazen lesbian, preaches homosexual rights, and God loves homosexuals as they are. God does love homosexuals, but He commands them to repent just like He does adulterers. Oh, this is apostasy. This is the depths of apostasy. How could we not see that? And I think we can, but very few can. Dan Lucarini, who was a contemporary worship leader, says this contemporary artists become role models for indecent dress. Wait, role models for indecent dress, rebellious images, improper crushes on married men by young girls, lustful interest in sexy females by adolescent males. That's bad role models. But that is the kind of role models they are at best. In fact, the music's owned by the world, contemporary Christian music. Owned by the world. Secular media companies swallowed up more than 90% of Christian recording labels in the 1990s. The music is owned by the world. Do you think the world is interested in spiritual matters? For example, Songs for Worship by Michael W. Smith is co-developed by Integrity Music and Time Life Music, owned by AOL Time Warner, which is not a spiritual outfit. They also publish all sorts of filthy rock and country music, such as Madonna and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers can't even keep their clothes on during their concerts, and they're filthy. You think AOL Time Warner has any interest in the things of Christ? Not a hint. In fact, the Word of God forbids this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness. In the matters of ministry, we never yoke together with unbelievers. And so the first reason that we're opposed to contemporary Christian music is that it is worldly. And secondly, it is addictive. Addictive. And creates a taste for sensual music. And that acts like a drug, a musical drug. Which is why it so dramatically changes individuals and homes and churches when it comes. It's a drug. You can't get enough of it, and you will not be content with a bit of it, a little bit of it. Timothy Leary, I've been stoned on music many times. He was an expert getting stoned. In high school, music was my drug. It is an opiate that really affects you, a former jazz musician. Modern music is as dangerous as cocaine. Powerful statements, folks. Rock music is the strongest drug in the world. Steve Tyler, he also was an expert in music, in drugs. We can look at its effect on Western society and see what it's done. And that's why we need to understand the essential character of rock and what it is and how to hear it, which is what we're going to deal with, the Lord willing, tomorrow night. And I hope each of you will be here for that. But number three, we reject contemporary Christian music because it is ecumenical. And this is a very serious issue. It's not a light issue here. I've discovered that contemporary worship music bridges any denomination. Today the walls are coming down. Any denomination. And what is bridging it? Music. Bob Larson says it destroys ecclesiastical divisions. And Darlene Check says there's a new sound and a new song being proclaimed across the earth. It's the sound of a unified church. Unified church. All the Christians coming together. Phil Driscoll, music is the power that God uses to transcend every denomination. This is one of their theme songs. You won't find any of them preaching against this. Preaching against unity. The Pope recognizes this, the former Pope. Music can be an instrument toward Christian unity. February 2001, he said. You can hear the terms, the ecumenical terms that permeate contemporary Christian music. The body. The united. John 17, tolerance. Non-critical love. Judge not. No finger pointing. All reflections of the ecumenical philosophy. Ecumenical. Graham Kendrick preaches, no more walls, tear down the walls between the denominations. He founded March for Jesus. It brings together Catholics and Mormons and Protestants and everybody. The ecumenical, the contemporary music is the driving force really behind the ecumenical evangelism today. Franklin Graham, Louis Palau and his son and their crusades and others like that. It's a big rock concert with a little bit of preaching thrown in there. It's radically ecumenical. Radically! Catholics are always right there in the middle of it. Strong Roman Catholic Association. Strong! Michael W. Smith performing at a Catholic World Youth Day. Just a few examples. John Wimber, his churches, the Vineyard churches, produce a lot of the music. Contemporary music, and he would invite Catholic priests to his conferences to preach and preach alongside of them. Darlene Check preaches, or doesn't preach, she probably does preach, but she is a worship leader in Catholic forums, to perform her music. Michael Card, this is soft rock, a ballad, a folk rock type stuff. Michael Card and Michael Talbot. But they're buddies. One's a Protestant, the other's a Catholic. And Michael Card says, the denominational lines have become meaningless to me and to John. John's a Catholic, prays to Mary. Michael's an evangelical of some kind. And he said, those denominational lines don't mean a thing anymore. Michael Talbot said, I'm feeling the presence of Mary becoming important in my life. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, I was in Chicago and doing a bit of research, I went to a Catholic church, Polish Catholic church, and there I saw the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God dwelt, you know. And above the Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God dwelt, and the tabernacle and the cherubim are surrounding it. But do you know who is this? Who was sitting on the Ark of the Covenant there in that Catholic church in Chicago? Can anybody guess? Mary! It's blasphemy, folks! Feeling the presence of Mary. That's a demon. Singing about unity, singing about the oneness, singing about let's all come together. They all have this song. They all sing this song. They all sing it. Here's Kathy Tricoli with the Pope. And so this is one of their theme songs. Where is she with the Pope? Tear down the walls. All the walls. Ecumenical nature of contemporary Christian music. But you cannot obey the Bible and be ecumenical. It's not possible. It's contrary to what the Bible teaches about doctrine. Because God tells us to hold to the one faith, the one doctrine that God has given us by His Holy Spirit, which is recorded under divine inspiration in the Scripture, one doctrine, not a bunch of different doctrines, and we're to hold fast to that till Jesus comes. And folks, that's narrow-minded. You can't possibly be ecumenical and obey what the Bible says about doctrine. It's contrary also to what the Bible says about separation. God doesn't suggest that we separate from heretics. God commands us to separate from heretics. I don't know that there's any suggestions in the Bible. But there's a bunch of commandments, and here's one of them. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. That's simple language. That's not deep Christianity here. You don't even have to go to the Greek or anything to understand that. The ecumenical philosophy is contrary to what the Bible says about contending for the faith. We're not only to hold fast to the faith, we're to fight for it. And a church that doesn't fight for the faith is not a New Testament church. Period. We're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And the pastor is to lead in that battle, and all of the teachers in the church are to lead in that battle, and the deacons in the church need to lead out in that battle, and every one of the members need to be solidly there behind that and saying, we are going to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. There's not going to be any wishy-washiness around here. That's a New Testament church. And so we reject contemporary Christian music because it's ecumenical and also because it's charismatic. It's radically charismatic. This is where it is coming from. Primarily, this is what it is. We can consider some of the biggest names in the music, like Darlene Check, Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia, the worship leader there. She is a radical charismatic. The tongue, so-called, shalalama balalama, which is nothing but nothing, because biblical tongues was a language. The co-pastors of that church is a man and his wife, Brian and Bobby Houston. They preach the prosperity gospel. Brian has a book, You Need More Money? Some of you need that book, don't you? That teaches the prosperity gospel. They were asked by the Sydney Morning Herald, Brian was, why is your church so big and successful? He said, we're scratching people where they're itching. And so, he's right. I agree with him. But it's apostasy. Giving people the type of Christianity they want in Australia today. And I'll guarantee you, the type of Christianity they want in Australia today, or America today, is not Bible Christianity. Right. Charismatic. One of the most dangerous movements there is tonight. Michael W. Smith, charismatic. His worship album was recorded at the Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida. Radically charismatic church in those days. They had men like Rodney Howard Brown come in to preach, and people started laughing like drunks and rolling around on the floor like idiots. And he called himself the Holy Ghost bartender to serve up Holy Ghost liquor to make people drunk. Why would you go to a church like that to record a worship album? Because you're apostate. You don't know the Holy Spirit from the devil. Folks, that's true. We need some spiritual discernment today. Graham Kendrick, very prominent, influential in his music, charismatic, accepting all these nonsensical, unscriptural experiences. John Wimber, who's dead now, but was the leader of the Vineyard movement, and their churches produced so much of the music that's influential today. He warned about those that have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Book. Testing everything by the Bible. One of the Vineyard churches, in fact, the main Vineyard church in Anaheim, California, 1994, a visitor there heard these words: "In a moment I'm going to call down the Holy Spirit." Call down the Holy Spirit. I thought he came 2,000 years ago. Don't be alarmed by anything you see. And above all, don't try to rationally evaluate the things you will see. Subjecting the, quote, revival to doctrinal test is the surest way to put out the fire. What fire? It's the surest way to be deceived by the devil I've ever heard of. The Vineyard movement, John Wimber, conducting signs and wonders conferences, claiming that every believer could heal the sick, but he couldn't heal the sick. And he admitted it. And he said he was pretty good at healing headaches. But you can't see a headache. The Vineyard, spirit slaying, John Wimber's meetings. He's a Catholic priest with the having carpet time. Holy Spirit glue. That's what they call it. He promoted prophets that were wrong most of the time. Like Paul Kane, Mike Bickle. Well, that's not a biblical prophet, folks. You say, well, you got to learn, don't you? Not with prophecy. Not with miracles. You can't learn how to do miracles. Charismatic movement's very dangerous. Very dangerous. You say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with independent Baptists. Yes, it does. And it's all around us. I dare say you've got charismatic relatives and friends. You don't, but you do. If you would not allow a charismatic preacher in your pulpit, why let one sing to your people? I'm not trying to portray all charismatics as unsaved, but we certainly do not want them as our teachers. To keep doctrine pure, we must separate from those who teach false doctrine and never give them an audience in our churches. I agree with that. Very dangerous movement. Southern Baptists are being infiltrated by the charismatics. There's a fifth reason I want to mention tonight why we reject contemporary Christian music. Because it's shallow and man-centered. John Blanchard observed that a great deal of it concentrates on man's felt needs. His loneliness, emptiness, sadness, and lack of fulfillment. If you go into a Christian bookstore, this is a large part of the theme of this book. The songs then invite the hearers to come to Jesus for joy, peace, thrills, happiness, and a high. Man-centered, experience-oriented. Here's some lyrics. If this world is a lonely place for you, there's a guide that you can trust. That's some solid theology there. You make the road rise up to meet me. The wind is at my back and the rain falls soft. I found that the wind is usually opposing me. And a lot of times it storms. That's all this feel good, what I want it to be kind of life. God will give me that. There's only one who can make you feel secure. He's waiting just for you. Now, not all of it's as shallow as that, but a lot of it is. A lot of it. Yeah, really, it's about me. My space. That's the hour we live in. My music, my friends, me. That's the pop culture today. And that contemporary Christian music reflects the philosophy of the pop culture. Let me mention another reason that I am so strongly opposed to contemporary Christian music, and that is because it's opposed to preaching. And it is. Now, I'm sure you might find some exception to this somewhere, but this is a rule. Steve Curtis Chapman, our message is not abrasively preachy. No fire and brimstone. Morgan Cryer, our songs deal with issues without being preachy. Donna Sumner's music is presented as unpreachily as possible. Randy Stonehill, I don't want to preach at people. Michael W. Smith, my songs are not preachy at all. Steve Taylor, I think it's insulting to people's intelligence to preach at them. Well, you must be a bunch of dummies. We're not trying to blatantly preach. Lifehouse, Chinese CCM group 4U. Their music is advertised as spiritual, but not preachy. Not preachy. Well, what's the Word of God say? Preaching and preaching mentioned 141 times. 141 times in the New Testament. That's a lot. Jesus Christ was a preacher. John the Baptist was a preacher. Peter was a preacher. Paul was a preacher. James was a preacher. Jude was a preacher. Timothy was a preacher. John was a preacher. They're opposed to preaching. It means the dogmatic proclamation of the truth. Thus saith the Word of God. They don't like that. Interferes with their lifestyle. Number 7. We're opposed to contemporary Christian music because it is experience-oriented. Really, it's all about an experience. That's why they use the type of music they use. It's focused on the feeling. Hey, that's what rock music has always been focused on. Hooked on a feeling. Hooked on a feeling. Feelings are powerful. Emotions are powerful. And that's what the modern worship's all about. Did you come to church tonight to feel something? Expecting to feel something. That's what contemporary worship's all about. Integrity worship was formed to help Christian leaders worldwide experience God's presence. Experience God's presence. In club culture worship, music surrounds the worshipers and one feels immersed in God's presence. Feels immersed by the music. And I saw this illustrated very dramatically a few years ago at City Harvest Church in Singapore. I attended there on a Saturday night to see their contemporary service. And it was full of young people rocking out. At that time, there were two pastors, the male pastor and then his wife, Sun. Her name is Sun Ho. And she is a very popular Chinese pop star. And rumors are that their divorce is pending. That wouldn't be surprising at all. She spends a lot of time out in other countries being a pop star and serving up champagne at parties and stuff. And in fact, I think she lives in America now. And he's back in Singapore. It's a rock and roll church, if there ever was one. Loud, so loud that I had to yell into the usher's ear to talk to him and try to get a copy of this church paper. And so he did get me a copy of it, and there was an interesting testimony in there. This new church member said, "I just started attending church a few months back and really felt drawn to the presence of God, especially during the times of praise and worship." But this church member had a question. "Yet each time when I try to meet God in the same way during my personal quiet time and feel the tangible presence that I always sense during church services, I always fail. Am I not worshiping in the correct way?" And so what's the difference? She's over here in this church auditorium with this heavy, hard rock music just literally lifting her off her feet. And then she's in the quiet time with her Bible. Well, the music, of course, is different. And it's the music that's creating those emotional experiences that they're lusting after. The music. Rock music has always had the power to create strong emotional experiences. That's what it's all about. That's its main attraction. Feels good. And it's been recognized since the 50s. Sam Phillips, Sun Records, and Elvis, and early rockers. He was the producer. Memphis, Tennessee. He said it all came out of that infectious beat. And those young people wanting to feel good by listening to some records. That's what it's always been about. And so they want these powerful experiences, and so they bring the world's music in to create these. Van Morrison says rock music is spiritual. Jimi Hendrix says the music itself is spiritual. Well, it is. And I experienced that spirit when I was lost. There's two spirits in the world. The God of this world, and there's Almighty God. Yes, the music itself has the power to create these experiences. People are lusting after, and you get caught up in that, and it's as addictive as any drug has ever been. But that has nothing to do, that experiential lusting after experience has nothing to do with true Christian worship. An emotional high, that's not real. That's not real. You don't have to live, see, these are young people. You don't have to live very long to know that that's not real. There's not any substance in an emotional high. It can come and go. But it sure certainly doesn't last and is not something to lust after. The Bible says we're to live by faith, not by sight. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We come to church by faith, not by sight. We worship by faith, not by sight. We read the Bible by faith, not by sight. Sometimes it feels wonderful. Really, sometimes you sit there and you weep and it's an emotional high. And prayer, and Bible reading, and church attendance, and sometimes it's dry as toast. Well, of course, because we live in a dead body, a changing body, a body that gets sick. I remember a friend, a godly pastor, he lost his use of his kidneys. And he was a vibrant Christian man, as far as I could tell, and a dynamic man. He would memorize whole books of the Bible. When he preached through Revelation, he'd just memorize the whole book. He was a very physical man. He worked out a lot. But one time I went to see him after he lost his use of his kidneys. He was on dialysis before he got kidney transplant. And I sat there in the office, and he was a broken man. And he said, "David, the Bible just mocks me anymore. Just mocks me." What was it? Physical. It was physical. You live in a dead body. You think it's always going to feel yippy-dippy? For we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why did he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Waiting. Oh, there's plenty of emotional highs out there in the future of the child of God. Nothing but joy in eternity in the millennium. Sorrow and sighing will flee away and be replaced with the constant experience of joy. But not today. Now, substance is the faith. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, we live by faith. Abraham, when he was commanded to take his beloved son up to the mountain and sacrifice him. Do you think he went skipping and hopping up there to some little rock and roll ditty? You say that's stupid, but that's Christian living. Yeah. He went up there with great sorrow in his heart that day, but he was, talk about pure worship. There has never been an act other than what Christ did of self-sacrifice so great as what Abraham did that day. It's almost beyond our ability to understand. Job, sitting in the ash heap, scraping his boils, listening to his wife fuss at him. And all of the things, and his friends fuss at him. And his friends say, "You're not right with God, you need to repent." And even the servants laughing at him. He's worshiping God. He glorified God. said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's powerful testimony. Dan Lucarini, the former worship leader, contemporary worship leader, who's written an excellent book, Why I Left the Contemporary Christian Music Movement, one of the best books on that subject, says, when we try to feel an experience of affirmation from worship, we're not worshiping God. We're worshiping our own egos. He understands this. He used to manipulate people and try to get them into these experiences. The true heart of worship is the heart that bows before God and submits to His Word no more and no less. No more and no less. I want to mention one more thing tonight. We're opposed to contemporary Christian music because it weakens the stance of a biblicist fundamentalist church, and it always dramatically changes the character of a church when it comes and it's doing it all over the country. Gordon Sears observed that decades ago. He said, when the standard of music is lowered, then the standard of dress is lowered. When the standard of dress is lowered, then the standard of conduct is lowered. And when the standard of conduct is lowered, then the sense of value in God's truth is lowered. It's a slide. It's a slope. Frank Garlock has observed that. He says, if a church starts using contemporary music, it will eventually lose all other standards. Ernest Pickering observed that. He said, nothing, perhaps nothing, precipitates a slide toward new evangelicalism more than the introduction of contemporary Christian music. This inevitably leads toward a gradual slide in other areas as well, until the entire church is infiltrated by ideas and programs alien to the original position of the church. Happening everywhere. Happened to Jerry Falwell, Liberty Baptist. In the 1980s, he said, other than heavy metal and vulgar lyrics, it's all a matter of taste. In other words, music is neutral. By 1992, he was radically ecumenical, endorsing Chuck Colson's book, The Body, which urged evangelicals and Catholics to come together, promoting Billy Graham, bringing Billy Graham in as the commencement speaker in 1999. Billy Graham, who since the 1950s has promoted unity with the Roman Catholic Church. In 1984, for example, Graham's vice chairman of the Crusade in Vancouver, British Columbia, said if Catholics step forward, there will be no attempt to convert them, and their names will be given to the Catholic Church nearest their homes. Shame on him. Jerry Falwell hosted Promise Keepers conferences, and Promise Keepers wasn't just about teaching men how to be good husbands. It was all about ecumenism. That same year, a Roman Catholic priest was speaking at Promise Keepers meeting. That same year, one of the directors at Promise Keepers was a Roman Catholic. We want Roman Catholics to come anytime the gospel's preached, anytime the church has its services. They're welcome. Anybody. But not to stand in the pulpit and preach, and not to be a deacon in the church, a director of the meeting. And then in 1996, he joined the Southern Baptist Convention, which is where he belonged. Fair Oaks Church, formerly Bethlehem Baptist Church, Fairfax, Virginia, big influential church in the BBF today, Baptist Bible Fellowship today, and they have their praise team led by four young women, and they dramatic changes have happened in that church in the last 15 years. The new pastor said, in regard to dress and modesty issues, we enforce no rule on our folks. Apparel issues are really of no concern to us. They use any kind of Bible that comes along. They've removed the King James clause. They changed the name of the church. Their youth pastor is decked out here in the church paper with the earrings and his goatee and his POD t-shirt. By the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with the goatee, but the earrings, there's something wrong with that. And his POD t-shirt, there's something wrong with that. That is a rock group, a raunchy rock group. They criticize kids that want to, quote, segregate themselves from the world. They're dangerous. I don't want them to get a hold of my grandkids. They're dangerous. Temple Baptist Church, Detroit Mission, used to be a staunch, strong biblical church. Now it's called Northridge Church. It was pastored by J. Frank Norris and G.B. Vick, very staunch, old-fashioned Baptist church. Now it's pastored by Brad Powell, and he's turned it into a rock and roll church. And it started soft, soft rock ballad, which is where it always starts, and then quickly deteriorated from there. They have hard rock concerts today. They changed the church's name to Northridge Church. Radically ecumenical. Hillsong performed there. Hillsong performs also in Catholic churches, performing in an independent Baptist church and also performing in the Catholic church. Akron Baptist Temple, Akron, Ohio, used to be a strong, just an old-fashioned Baptist church. And now they have the rock and roll, it's a rock and roll church. They have two services, the temple and the bridge. Used to have what was said to be the largest Sunday morning attendances in the nation. They had 6,000 one Sunday in 1960. Be that as it may, it's a rock and roll church today. The grandson took over. This is very sad. The grandson of the founding pastor and began moving the church in a contemporary direction. Today, the traditional service is still called the temple, but the rock service is called the bridge. The bridge to what? The bridge to where? They say on their website, it's a non-threatening environment where you can experience God. And it's all about my way, my music. The old folkies got their music over there in the temple, but hey, we got our music over here in the bridge. And it's as raunchy as anything the world's got. You get a little taste for the bridge there. We could play it real loud, but we don't want to. We're living in evil times, but we're living in exciting times. I am not discouraged these days at all. I'm looking for the Lord. I'm expecting the Lord actually to come soon. And I want to do what I can do until then. And spend my life for something that has eternal value. God bless you, Pastor.
All right. There's a lot of things there that, but just a reminder, reason why we separate from the Catholic Church. They preach you have to pray to Mary. They preach you have to keep sacraments in order to go to heaven. So you really never can know you're going to heaven in the Catholic Church. Why? Because they don't preach what God says, what Jesus says. You must be born again. You have to have a spiritual birthday. You have to be born again. They don't preach that. They preach, we're just witnessing my neighbor, and he went all the way to Rome and traveled around the world, all these Catholic churches. He's looking for that experience that'll get him into heaven and the sacraments and all these things. They're on a futile journey that will never end until they trust Christ as Savior. So let's pray for our Catholic friends and neighbors and family members that they get saved. That's what they need. They need Jesus. And so that's why we have no fellowship with them. They're leading more people into hell through thinking they're okay, thinking their good works will save them, than any church. They're the largest church because they're all over the world, Latin American countries especially. So we need to pray for them, pray for our loved ones in that group that they get saved and come out. So for them to hold hands, any ecumenical group, any Christian group, is eventually going to march back to Rome if they don't keep biblical standards, keep the Bible first, preach the Bible. The world has also found out tattoos are not good. They always said, it doesn't matter what you do, ink up your body and all these things. Now they just came out with a study. People with tattoos are much more likely to have multiple partners, multiple immoral relationship partners if they get a tattoo. Why? Because it just starts breaking down the body and that God says it's our temple. So once you start breaking down those lines, once we start messing with our body, the temple of God, That's breaking down more walls. Breaking down more walls. And they find that people with tattoos, and I'm, you know, if you have a tattoo, you know, don't tell us about it or anything like that. We're not coming against you. They're just saying the study found in general that they have more partners. They're lonelier. They because they're not staying with one spouse for life. Okay, so that's why we preach the Bible, because God has said these things all over and over, all since the beginning of history, beginning of time. He's warned us about the things of the world. So we, you know, Jesus says to judge all things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. So the world says judge not. No, don't you know Jesus said judge not? Jesus said judge not people's motives. We can't know why people are doing what they're doing. We are to judge righteous judgments, though. Jesus said judge all things. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians. So here Jesus is telling us, by their fruits ye shall know them. So we are to judge things. Okay? Just not judge people's motives. You can't know why, you know, I'm coming to church. You can't judge my motive in that. But we should judge the way things are going in the world. Why? So we can avoid bad behavior and go with good behavior. So even pastors who are in those churches, they're taking a look at their music. They're saying, whoa, our music is taking people away from what we're preaching. What's going on? What? And so I heard a bunch of pastors talking about music, and they allow some of the contemporary stuff in there, and they sing some hymns, but they also allow a lot of some of the contemporary songs in there, and the rock worship ballads and things. And they all got together, and they said, wait, we see what's going on here. This music, people are worshiping the emotion they feel when they're singing these songs and getting in that trance. They're worshiping that emotional feeling, and that's what they come back for week after week. But it's opposed to the preaching we're trying to preach them. And so here's some evangelical pastors saying, wait, something is wrong here. We've got to stop. You know, something's wrong. Now, the problem is once you feed people that music, are you going to stop? You know, and that's the true test. And so they're not of our stripe. They're not Baptists, but they're more on the conservative side of evangelicalism, and they're saying the people are getting transformed by the music and they're not responding to the preaching. What's going on here? It's because the first half of the service is clashing with the second half of the service. Okay? So that's what we're talking about here. Any questions on that as we close? Any questions on, there's a lot to, you know, to examine tonight, but any questions on it? Okay, pretty self-explanatory. Alright, let us close with one last song. We'll sing a good song to close the service tonight. That's why I love our hymn book. We have newer hymns that are still God honoring in this book, and the Wilds Chorus book we sing in choir. So we do use the newer songs, but they're still a beautiful. They're still glorifying to God. Okay, let's go to our hymn book tonight as we close this service. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 546. And let's all stand together as we sing this song.
Oh, Amen.
Amen.
Amen.